Thank you, Lord.
Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 19. I'm just going to read this one verse. Hebrews 10, 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Let's pray.
Amen.
Father, we come before you today asking for your mercy, your power, that you would touch every life here.
Amen.
That, Lord, those that are saved would be drawn closer to you. Those that are lost would be saved, trust you for their salvation. And Lord, I ask you to give me a freedom and power to speak that only you can give.
Amen.
And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The book of Hebrews is Paul writing to the Hebrew Christians and trying to explain the newness of the gospel. When I first read the Bible 56 years ago, I started out at Genesis. And Genesis was great. And Exodus wasn't too bad. Then you get into Numbers and Leviticus and wow. Sort of like the guy that read about Noah's Ark and then he read about the Jews carrying it across the desert. You know, you can get a little bit confused sometimes. If I were telling you, if you were asking me now, after this many years, how should I start reading the Bible? You've never read much anymore, maybe before. I'd read John, the book of John, five times, the book of Romans five times, then start back at Matthew, read the New Testament a couple of times, and then read it. Because the New Testament interprets the Old Testament. A lot of things in the Old Testament, they're right for the Jew. They were right for the law. And as the Bible says, it was a very glorious thing. This Jewish law and this worship was absolutely glorious. But once the gospel came, once Christ comes, that glory is almost not there. The brightness of the gospel just makes the other look as if it were nothing
Amen.
At all. So, I was just thinking about the boldness to enter into the holiest. The boldness. I'm going to spend a little time in this chapter. I don't plan on going anywhere else. But I want to think about what a great thing it is to be a Christian.
Amen.
And how much of the world is confused on how to reach God. How even many Christians, and even today is going to be preached, they're not going to preach the gospel. In fact, they're going to change the book they got in their hands. And the truth of the matter is, we have a new and living way. It's not like all religions. It's not good little boys go to heaven and bad little boys go to hell. That's what I was raised on.
Amen.
That's not true.
Amen.
A lot of bad little boys get saved and go to heaven.
Thank you, Lord.
And I got a lot of good little boys who don't see the need to get saved and go to hell. There is a heaven, there is a hell.
Amen.
What makes the difference? How good you are? No.
Right.
What makes the difference is who's paying for your sin.
Amen.
There are two conditions. Jesus can pay for them or you can pay for them.
Amen.
I've seen people proud enough and secure in their own life so that they don't want Jesus to pay for them. They're going to go up on their own merits before God.
Lord.
I'm sorry to say, friend, the Bible says all have sinned. Come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. Your grandmother sinned.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Your grandbaby sinned. All have sinned. And that makes you worthless in the sight of God. You do not have an entrance. You do not have an opportunity. Now, the gospel is so completely different. It is so strange to the mind of man and most religious people that they miss it. Over and over and over again. And we're going to hear sermons on all sorts of things that we should do. In fact, I'm going to say some of them. the things the Bible tells you you ought to do. But the truth of the matter is, you don't get saved by doing those things. You get saved by trusting in Jesus Christ. And that's what this gospel, what this chapter 10 of Romans is telling you. In chapter 9, it shows you how Jesus is the one eternal high priest.
Amen.
No other priest. And you don't need another one because he's never going to die.
Amen.
But here in chapter 10, look at verse 10. Actually, verse 9. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. This is Jesus speaking. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. You know what that says? That says all the sacrifices you can make won't do you any good.
Sir, that's right. Amen.
Not going to help you. You can sacrifice your money. You can sacrifice your time. You can beat on your body. You can do all sorts of things. You can fast. But my friend, Jesus made one offering once for all time.
Amen.
Jesus is not re-sacrificed every time we take the Lord's Supper.
That's
just a remembrance. He died one time for sins for all time.
Amen.
And He took care of all sin everywhere.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, when you go into the presence of God, how can you go? Can you go on that you've been so good to your wife or your family, your children, or to the poor people around you, or you've preached the gospel for 50 years? No. You're going to go into the presence of God, you're going to need a priest. You can't enter the presence of God. You're going to need a priest. Let me tell you what, no human priest can do.
Amen.
There's not a human priest. I can't forgive your sins, neither can any other man.
That's right.
Amen.
You're going to need a priest. Jesus is that priest.
Amen.
Just read chapter 9. Jesus is that priest. Now, that priest is going to go in and offer what? His own blood for you. Boy, isn't that different? That's different. That means everybody that gets saved as a gift. By grace. You know what grace means? It means a blessing you don't deserve.
Amen.
That God blesses you, gives you something you never deserved in the past and you never will in the future.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Grace. God's favor that you do not deserve, unmerited. And that's the only way anybody is going to get into the presence of God. And that's what it tells you up here in these few chapters. The offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The cross never has to be repeated. The sacrifice never has to be done again. And if this sacrifice is not good enough to save you, there is no salvation for you. It's Jesus and Jesus only. And if you don't have Jesus, I don't care how sweet you are, how kind you are, how religious you are, you don't stand a chance.
That's right.
Now, that is a radical idea, a very exclusive idea. Somebody said, well, what about all these nice religious people in the world? They need Jesus.
Amen.
That's why we send missionaries out. That's why we preach. That's why people preach on the streets every week from this church, different places. That's why they knock on doors and pass out tracts. Because Jesus is the only way.
Amen.
He said it himself, I am the way, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. How exclusive is that? You have to have Jesus. And without Jesus, you do not stand a chance. That's the gospel. The gospel is that Christ died for you and He'd love to save you.
Thank you, Lord.
And if you'll repent of your sins, you'll believe what the Bible says about you, that you're a sinner and you need a Savior and you need a great high priest and you need God, you repent of your sins, God Almighty will have mercy upon
you.
Lord. Now, go back to the verse that I started with, verse 19. Having therefore boldness. Why are we bold? Because of what it said up there in 10:10. We're bold. I go into the presence of God. I'm bold. I pray. I ask Him for things. I'm bold. You can ask me, say, who's the greatest name you've ever heard? Jesus.
Amen.
Who's the one Savior? Jesus.
Amen.
How exclusive is that?
Amen.
All roads don't lead to Rome, and all roads don't lead to heaven. There's one way to heaven, and it's Jesus Christ, and you need Him.
Amen.
That's what you need. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. In that Old Testament, nobody but the high priest could go into the holiest. Nobody. I understand they put bells on him, and if he happened to die while he's ministering in there, he had a rope on his ankle and they drug him out. Now, I don't know that that's true, but that's what I've heard as I read and studied. Nobody went into the Holy of Holies. There's a great big curtain there. When Jesus Christ died upon the cross of Calvary, that huge, heavy curtain was ripped from top to the bottom. It wasn't ripped from the bottom up to the top. It was ripped from the top to the bottom. Saying, signifying, now there's a way to get into the Holy of Holies.
Thank you, Lord.
By the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So we have boldness. Christians who know the gospel of Jesus Christ and have been walking with God for a while, they have boldness. God is their Father. I wasn't always a good son. But I knew I was loved. And I knew I was always welcome. I didn't have to call and say, I'm thinking about coming over. Can I come? I was always welcome. You know something? That's the way I am in God's presence. And if you're born again here today, that's the way you are in God's presence.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You can have boldness. You can walk up and say, Father! Father, help me! Lord, help me! I need help. That's what God's for. Someone said, I've seen people say, well, I wouldn't want to have a deathbed conversion. It would be a lot better than not having one.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
I tell you what, God listens to deathbed conversions. I've also heard that there are no atheists in foxholes. Even atheists pray. When the bullets are passing around and the bombs are exploding, you know. That's a lot of truth to that. People get saved because they're in trouble.
Yes, sir.
They get saved because they're in sin.
Amen.
They get saved because they are miserable. They get saved because they know their life is a train wreck.
Guilty. Amen.
And because of that, they call on God and say, forgive me, help me. And they don't even know what they're getting into.
Amen.
But oh, what a day that was.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You ever had that day?
Amen.
Well, if you haven't, I hope you have it today.
Amen.
Matt says, we're going in boldly into the holiest. Wow. Common people like you and me, we walk into the holiest. By a new and living way. It's not the old religion.
Thank you, Lord.
It's not the works of man.
Amen.
Do you really think there's anything you could do to please God? What can you give Him? Now, you can give me $100 or $1,000 or $1,000,000, something like that, and I'll say, oh, yeah, that's nice. God's not impressed.
All right. Amen.
He is not impressed. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He created all. If He wanted more, He could speak it into existence. He doesn't even have to have a printing press, fella. He can handle it on His own. God can do anything He wants to do, and He is an absolute, sovereign, all-powerful, almighty God. And you ought to recognize that.
Amen.
A new and living way. Not only is it a new way, it's so different that these Old Testament Jews brought into Christianity had a real hard time transferring from all these sacrifices and all these feasts and all these other laws and whatever. And what He's telling them is, we got a new way. It's not the old way anymore. It's a new way. And by the way, one thing about it's new, it's a living way.
Amen.
56 years ago,
Amen.
I called on the Lord one night, and He gave me life.
Amen.
He just gave me life. I was different. When I got up and walked out of that room, I didn't even understand half of what had already taken place in me. I didn't understand how I would hate the things I'd loved and love the things I hate. I was living. He took my old sin-dead soul and moved in and made me alive. That's the big difference. Now, I've buried almost all my family. I'm the last of the Mohicans. And I know the difference between living and dead. I sat there and talked to them in the hospital bed. Turn around and walk out the door. Walk back in, they're gone. The body's still there. They haven't carried it off yet. They may not have turned off the machines yet, but they're gone. They're not alive. Well, I'm alive. And I was alive from the very first day that Jesus saved me. I didn't understand it all, but bless your heart, it's a new way, and it's a living way, and that's what Paul's trying to explain to them.
Amen.
Make them understand what a great thing has happened to you. You've been saved by a new and living salvation. Praise the Lord. Not only that, look at verse 21. We have a priest. We have a high priest.
Amen.
So we can draw near. We have a priest. Now, many people support their priest today and have a great deal of confidence in their priest. The only problem is, well, no, not the only problem. One of the problems is that they're not going to live. They're going to die. And then you got to get a new priest. Have you ever had to replace a doctor? I had a doctor I had a great deal of confidence in, real practical man. I told him, I said, you know, my feet hurt, my back, he said, sit more. I want a diet. He said, move more and eat less. Well, you know, he finally got sicker than me. And all of a sudden, I didn't have my doctor anymore. So you're going to go find another doctor. Well, some of you know the last year, I got a hold of a couple of very, very prominent doctors that tried to kill me. They weren't worried about me. They were worried about the money they could make. They lied to me. Ooh, you talk about making me mad. I was going back to my fighting days. Took me 8 days to get forgiveness in my heart. I didn't get it the first day. I prayed for it a long time, but I couldn't get it. Every time I thought about them, I cussed them out. Now, I haven't cussed for 56 years, but my mind cussed them out for 8 days. I was mad. You need a high priest. You need a high priest that has access to God. There's only one.
Amen.
I'm sorry, no preacher, no priest, no religion can forgive your sins. They cannot take you closer to God. Only Jesus. And that's why Jesus became our high priest. And by an ever-living life, he never has to be replaced.
Amen.
That's wonderful. That's a new and that's a living way. Now that's why we have boldness.
Amen.
That's the only reason you can possibly have boldness before God Almighty.
Amen.
Is Jesus. You only have access to that great high priest who is Jesus, and the sacrifice that he made is the only thing that will ever pay for your sins.
Thank you, Lord.
You need it, and you need Jesus. But he's talking to Christians. I want you to notice some advice that he gives. It says in verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Let's draw near with a true heart in full assurance. Now I know doubting is a problem for Christians.
Amen.
I know sometimes when things don't go exactly right, you're not getting your prayers answered and you're going through a lot of troubles or your kids are in sickness or you may lose one. Or they get crippled or some other something happens. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're not going to have everything else that anybody else has in this life. And so you need to draw near. I've known people that get mad at God and stay away from church. Or get mad at the preacher and stay away from church. Or get mad at somebody that didn't shake their hand right and stay away from church. That's the wrong thing to do.
Amen.
That's the time you need to run to church.
Amen.
And learn to put up with incomplete human beings.
Amen.
Sinners. You know what I am? I'm a sinner preaching to a bunch of sinners. That's right. And sinners, we make mistakes. If you preach extemporaneous, as I always do, I don't read anything. If I've got a short thing of notes, and mostly I don't touch them. They're just there if my mind goes blank. It has done that. You're messing with sinners. You're looking for the perfect church. When you join it, you'll ruin it.
Guilty. Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
What if all the Christians in this church gave like you give?
Yeah. Right.
Woo!
Okay.
We wouldn't even have electricity today, would we? What if all the Christians came as faithfully as you do?
All right. Amen.
Huh? What if all the preachers were about like you? Would you go? We can draw near. Here's what he's saying here. Let's draw near in full assurance of faith. I am commanded to draw near to God.
Yes.
Now, I don't know how you do it. Maybe you get up and walk. Maybe you go down to some place that's quiet. Maybe you get in a closet somewhere. Maybe in your bathroom. But you ought to draw near to God.
Amen.
You ought to draw near every time you put something in your mouth. You ought to say, Lord, thank you for this day of life. Lord, thank you for this food you created for me and gave to me. And you as an American, good night. You ought to be thankful to God every day. I don't care if you're on welfare. You're richer than most of the people alive today. And most of the people that ever lived in all of history. Draw near. He said, draw near in full assurance. Look at verse 23. Some other advice he gives to new Christians. Old Christians too, and take it goodbye. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. We got a faithful God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
When I got saved, I quit smoking, drinking, cussing, and gambling, and I was in the military. And so my buddies, all of a sudden, today I'm not doing what I was doing yesterday. I just got saved. I didn't understand a whole lot of it. I just had been raised to think those things were wrong. So I quit them. That guy is out there at the base, you know. They were giving me a hard time. And they were wondering what in the world happened. Well, let me tell you something. I got saved. I got changed.
Amen.
They couldn't understand that. What are you doing? Do you think because you don't smoke anymore you can go to heaven? No.
Right.
In fact, I don't even think smoking's a sin. Just make you smell like you've been to hell. You know what that verse 23 said? Hold fast the profession of our faith.
Amen.
Let me tell you what. You step up and tell your wife you're a Christian. And she's not. She's going to test you right then. Next week, maybe for a month or two, she's going to give it to you to see if you're real. I was witnessing to a soldier, an airman, living in an old German concentration camp in Roswell, New Mexico. And this was after I'd grown a little bit and read the Bible and was preaching. And I witnessed him for 3 or 4 hours. He just was stubborn. Just stubborn. And finally I said, well, do you want to go to heaven? He said, yes. Except Christ. Well, I can't. And did it several times. I said, go to hell then. What? You don't want to go to heaven? There's only one other place to go. I'm going home. It's 11:30. And his little wife, now he was built like a tackle for Texas University, you know. And she was a little bitty thin thing. Had a baby 9 months old, weighed 35 pounds. Had it on skim milk. Looked just like his daddy. And I said, I'm leaving. And she says, wait, I want to get saved. She'd been listening to me. A little bitty house. She couldn't go too far, you know. She's out in the other, in the little bedroom. It's like going through a curtain. And I'm not quiet. And so she heard everything I said, everything he said, and all the arguments and all the things like this. And he said, no. He said no 50 times, maybe. And I finally said, it's it. She said, please, I want to get saved. The minute she called upon the Lord and got up, he attacked her. Verbally. I'm not talking about physically. Verbally. You're a Christian now? Okay, you're a Christian now? You think you're not going to get attacked? How about hanging on to your testimony? Don't throw it away for a bottle of beer or a friend.
Amen.
Don't throw it away because you want to get in with the crowd and listen to the dirty jokes.
Amen.
The world will run over you.
That's right.
My Christian friend, once you take Christ up, you've got to stay with Him or you'll have no testimony whatsoever. They'll eat your lunch. The world will.
Amen.
They will jump on you for mistakes you didn't even make.
Amen.
So he said, let's hold fast our profession of faith without wavering. Why? Because God is faithful. Now look at verse 24. Here's another good bit of advice for Christians. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works.
Amen.
I'm pretty good about provoking unto something. Not love and good works. I wish I were better at the love and good works side. I'm a smart aleck. I got the quick zingers. I love sarcasm. Bang, bang, bang. My wife and I have been playing that game for 58 years, 60 years. Who's got the best zinger? One time I was preaching. I had a little old lady in my church. She was 70 years old and very sensitive. And a sweet lady, very dear friend. And I was, you know, in my 30s. And I was preaching and I was confessing pride. And she says, Brother Lindell, what do you have to be proud about? And I said, Velma, that's the best zinger I've had in years. Boy, talk about cutting me down. You really, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. Oh, but she slapped me. Man, wow. What do you got to be proud about? Well, I might ask all of you that. What do you got to be proud about?
Amen.
You got anything you're so high up and mighty?
Amen.
No, I'll tell you what. Amen. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now, notice that one another. That's part of the church. It's one another. It's not a great sermon and one mouth and all listeners. You ought to come to our night meetings, those that haven't been here. Sunday night, we'll take the Lord's Supper. After the Lord's Supper, different ones will exhort one another. They're not all preachers. They don't all know the Bible real well. But I'll tell you what, we've raised an awful lot of preachers out of this place. And they weren't practice preaching. They were preaching the word that they had to us. Exhorting one another. Hey, come on, let's do this. Hey, come on, let's do that. Why don't we grow up? Well, that's what Paul's doing right here. He said, let us exhort one another unto love and good works. Provoke one another. Verse 25. Oh, some of you in here, I'm going to let you have it down. Let us not forsake, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Do you fit that verse?
Amen.
Are you some that just come to some meetings?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Are you a Sunday morning 1 hour Christian? Is that your style? You know what you ought to be doing? You ought to be provoking one another. And you ought to be assembling with the believers so you could exhort one another.
Right. Amen.
Isn't that what it says? That's the whole purpose of the church. The church really is not an evangelism factory. You're the evangelist. Evangelism factory. You're the evangelist.
Amen.
The church itself is to build you up and give you strength and encourage you provoke you, exhort you, so that you grow in Christ. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Hey, we meet tonight at 7 o'clock. Did you know that? Did you read it on the sign?
Amen.
We meet tonight at 7 o'clock. You'd be welcome. Amen. I didn't get any amens on that, Bill.
Amen.
Ah, thank you. Thank you. Not forsaking the assembling yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Now notice this last part. And so much the more you see the day approaching.
Right. That's right. Yes.
Well, I tell you what, I'm a whole lot closer than Paul. Yeah. Just about 2,000 years closer than Paul. Not quite. What do you think? You think God has delayed His coming? No. Everything working out just like He wants it to work out.
Amen.
He's going to move when He decides to move, maybe when He decided a long time ago to move. He's not going to change. I've been looking for the Lord a long time. Ever since I got saved, I was reading the Bible, reading the book of Revelation, got down to chapter 20, and I became a premillennialist when I didn't know what that word meant. I just knew Jesus was coming before the millennial reign of Christ. That's what the Bible said. Exhorting one another, and so much the more you see the day approaching. The day is approaching. One of these days, everything you own is going to be a waste. And all you will have is what you sent on before. That's the truth.
Amen.
You know the joke about no U-Hauls falling a casket?
Right. Amen.
Well, that's true. Everything you got. I have got a garage full. Do you? I know some of you can't walk through your garage. I had a man I dealt with one time, led him to the Lord, and he invited me over to his house. I couldn't walk through his house. He had things stacked up everywhere. They're just little trails. He was like you. Every weekend he went tracing out here trying to buy sell stuff. Yeah, we got a lot of junk, don't we?
Yes, sir. Amen.
But you know, we're not going to take any of it with us.
Amen.
Exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now look down at verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. You know, I've been doing this a long time. I've seen known many, many wonderful Christians. And I've known a few that have failed too. Just really messed up. They get to the place, they don't have any confidence anymore. They don't think God's going to hear their prayer. They don't think they're still favored by God. They can't trust that they've trusted the blood of Jesus. They can't trust that God's grace is all they ever had anyway, and that God didn't promise you a rose garden down here. Christians have gone through even more suffering than most. We are an unusual batch of Christians. We're rich. We're educated. We have Bibles you can buy for a dollar in a grocery store. We got preaching and teaching on the television and the radio every day. People are passing out tracts, giving us New Testaments. When I went in the military, they gave me a Gideon New Testament.
Right. Amen.
They're still passing them out.
Amen.
Don't get discouraged. Don't get whipped. Don't forget that God is your Savior. He's your Lord. He's your Father. He said, cast not away therefore your confidence. It has a great recompense of reward. Now notice verse 36. You need patience.
Amen.
Amen. Now most of us pray for patience because we don't like to wait.
Right.
That's not exactly the way it works. Patience? Most of us aren't patient. Have you dealt with people? People are not patient. They don't like to wait. They don't want something to happen tomorrow. They don't want something to happen 10 years from now. They don't want something to happen 50 years from now. I was ready to go to heaven when I was 21. Sounded like a great place to me.
Amen.
I'm just about 77. I'm still here.
Amen.
I gave God several opportunities the last couple of years. And must be somebody else I'm supposed to speak to. One more. You got need of patience. So you start praying for something. I remember I had two difficult situations at my house where I lived. I had a little girl, one of my daughters. She was before school. She's playing out in the front yard. And I had this family across the street from me. The oldest child was a 16-year-old boy, and all of them were mean. And they had arrows with brass points on them. And that 16-year-old would shoot that arrow at Dara. Now, I thought about going over and beating the snot out of him. But I'd have went to jail. I thought about turning my two teenage boys loose on him. But then that wasn't the right thing to do. But I was mad. I was upset. I made Dara play in the backyard. She couldn't play in the front yard. Now, that burned me just about every day. What can I do about it? Because you talk to the mother, she's a trampy woman. And she wasn't going to take anything against her children. Be real careful you don't defend your children sometime when they need a good spanking.
Amen.
And I'm praying. And there was another situation down about two blocks from me. I was praying about nothing I could do. I'm praying. About 6 months later, all of a sudden, I drove down that street and I thought, that's what I prayed for. The family across the street was gone. The house was trashed. They just beat out the walls and beat up the curbs. They just trashed a beautiful house. And this other situation, it had turned around. And I thought, that's exactly what I prayed for months. And I didn't realize that God had already answered it right there. Probably about 6 months after I was praying. You got to need a little patience. You don't always get everything just when you want it. God is not on your time schedule. In fact, God has no time schedule. He's outside and above time. Time is for us. We count our lives by time. We count our marriage by time. We count our ministry, our work by time. But God's not limited by time. He doesn't even have to think in that area. You start praying for something from your Heavenly Father and you know it's His will, just keep on praying. How about being patient? Keep on praying. I found a fellow one time, we were praying for something. He said, I prayed the prayer of faith. Nobody needs to pray anymore. I said, well, I'll tell you what. I hope you're right and I hope it comes like you say it is, but I'm still going to keep on praying the prayer of faith. I'm praying in faith that God will go ahead and answer my prayer. And I don't quit praying until I get the answer. That's patience. Do you have patience?
No.
Notice something. Verse 37 has a very interesting thought in it. Ought to be a help to any Christian. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now, in the way I have lived my life, sure seems like a long time. Some things don't happen just when I want them to happen.
Amen.
But let me tell you something. That verse says, Jesus will come.
Amen.
He's not being held up. The devil hadn't got such a claim on things that he's holding Jesus back.
Amen.
The church is not so wicked that Jesus can't come down and reform the thing right away. Or transform us when He takes us out in the rapture. He's coming. You say it's been 2,000 years. He's coming.
Amen.
What if God in His mercy wants one more soul to be saved? What if there's somebody that needs to hear the gospel this morning, and when that soul is saved, God takes the whole thing out? You got enough wisdom to tell Him when? You pray for rain? We're in a drought-stricken state. My wife was telling me our place in the country is in the extreme drought. Well, I know that. If she'd treat her preacher better, we'd get more rain. You have need of patience. Jesus is coming. Heaven is on the horizon.
Amen.
A transformed new body like Jesus in His resurrected body is yours.
Amen.
And it's coming. You're getting tired of that old body and old sin and old aches and old things that the doctors can't help you with? It's coming. How about hanging on, Christian?
Amen.
Hang on to your testimony. Hang on to your profession of faith. Keep going back to your Almighty God and trust the new and living way.
Amen.
Now, Christian, some of you need to repent of the way you've treated God.
Amen.
And maybe someone in here in this room today, you're not saved. You know you're not saved. The Holy Spirit of God's pointed out to you, you're not saved. Well, Jesus will save you.
Amen.
One of the greatest things, had a fellow ask me just a while back, said, "Don't you get bored preaching the gospel?" No, it's my greatest joy. What are you talking about? Bored with the gospel? Well, you tell people the same thing. Jesus will save them all the time. Yeah, and I'm going to keep on doing it.
Amen.
I've heard too many sermons when they didn't tell them one time. I sat in a sermon with a crowd a whole lot bigger than this. The sermon was on the donkey that carried Mary. He never got around to salvation, never got around to Jesus, never got around to the cross. No, I love the gospel.
Amen.
God saved my soul, changed my life. Boy, what a difference. What a difference He can make in your life today. I don't know where you are. But if you're here without Christ, Jesus Christ will hear your prayer if you repent of your sins and ask Him to forgive you.
Amen.
He may not hear your prayer to buy you a new Cadillac next week. But He will hear your prayer if you repent of your sins. Confess them to God. Ask Him to forgive you.
Thank you, Lord.
He'll hear that prayer.
Amen.
Christian friend, there's some things you've been longing for a long time. You need some patience.
Amen.
Maybe you need to talk to God about it again. Maybe you quit praying.
Amen.
We'll start over.
Right. Amen.
Maybe your testimony and what it ought to be. Well, remake it.
Amen.
Remake it. Confess up. Get right with God. God has given you a life of repentance. You start out repenting to get saved. For me, it's never stopped. Because I keep sinning. I keep thinking wrong. 235. Let's sing hymn 235. Let's stand. This altar is open. If you have a burden on your heart and you want to come down and pray and talk to the Lord, we'd love to have you.